Well, as a high school student, I was awfully lucky. I grew up in a very small town, about 5,000 people, isolated in Texas. And I went to a high school, I think my graduating class was about 120, something like this. So I was a decent student, but I say I was very lucky in that I didn't have to work almost at all. And I came out at the top of my class. So that was a very pleasant experience. So when it came time to go to college, I thought, well, I'll go to the University of Texas. I got to the University of Texas and I took my first calculus course and I realized it was hard. And I took my first physics course and I realized it was hard. And I couldn't really expect an A coming automatically anymore. The way I got interested in science was from science fiction. In the early 70s, in the small town that I was telling you about, we were about 90 miles from San Antonio, Texas, and the San Antonio television stations would show science fiction and horror movies every Friday evening, every Saturday morning, every Saturday afternoon, every Saturday evening, and then sometimes on a Sunday morning. And throughout the rest of the week, when I would come home from school, there would be an episode of Star Trek or Lost in Space on television. So I gained this taste for wanting to travel in space, be like Captain Kirk, go out and have a great adventure. Why do I like it? I don't know that I can put my finger on why I like it. You know, you can ask somebody, why do you like race car driving? And, you know, their answer would be, well, I like race car driving. I saw this car and it looked really cool and I got into it and I started going down the street and it felt good. So, you know, I'm making this up on the fly, but to answer your question why I like science, I don't think I can give you a better answer than about that. It's like getting into a car, driving really fast, or getting on a skateboard and driving, or, you know, going whoosh and feeling it, and it's exciting. I try to tell my daughters about, I try to convey to them this idea that just around them, all surrounding their heads and their bodies, are things that people have never noticed. And probably important things, not inconsequential things, but really important things. And if they just notice these important things before anyone else, maybe not before anyone else, but they notice these important things, then it can open up a whole new world. So example I like to give is this phenomenon of a big rock and a little rock. You pick them up and you drop them and they both hit the ground at the same time. Surely this had been noticed for thousands of years before Galileo. But no one thought it was important. Galileo noticed it and said, well, this is, you know, to some extent important. And that led to a good bit of Newtonian mechanics. Einstein came along 300 years later and said, no, it's not just somewhat important, that's really important. This little thing that, you know, thousands of people had seen, a big rock and a little rock, you drop them, they hit the ground at the same time. And just noticing that and recognizing the importance of that led to general relativity, which ultimately led to our understanding of black holes and neutron stars. Well, one piece of advice is to work really hard. And I started my life, my academic life off exactly in that way. I worked very hard. I worked very hard for 4.5 years to get through college. Then I went to graduate school and I started to be a real scientist as opposed to a student just learning things. And at that point, I think there came another phase transition where I turned back to my old high school ways of doing things. And I realized that the hard work was a component, but it wasn't the whole story. So advice for students is, particularly when you start a research life, be creative. Treat science more like an art. Treat yourself more like an artist with a canvas. You have the opportunity to paint the world into a picture that you want.